Everybody else has already signed it, shoot it over here. This is my cheat sheet.
By the way, the heat's gonna go up in here, so.
Okay.
Thank you.
You got us on already?
I got you on.
Okay. Okay, let's open up in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this time, and thank you for this group, and change is a part of life. You get these sub, oh, we're in a different room, oh, things are gonna go this way from now on. But we know that you've already anticipated and seen it, Father, so we just commit this time to you and pray that we can learn and grow, and we invite you, Holy Spirit, to dwell among us, and we thank you for this opportunity, and in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, any comments, observations, anything?
You're gonna go?
Hello, yeah, I'm gonna add it.
This is it.
Any events this week where you had to kind of like maybe practice your skills?
Every day,
I'm telling you, it's a constant struggle. Pass that over her so she can start it. I'm trying to get everybody's name here.
Well, I'm realizing more and more what anger, we've talked about this, kind of suppressing it, but my anger was just working in my mind all the time sometimes.
You know,
it doesn't come out a lot, but I can now sort of realize that I'm just being angry in my heart, so I'm just realizing that.
Okay, what kind of goes with the anger to sin not?
Right.
You're not sinning with your anger, but the thoughts are still there.
Right. But
I certainly relate to that as well.
Yeah.
The least little thing set me off, and I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, what's going on with this?
But I'm hoping that the path starts to work on my mind and my thoughts. I mean, the way we're... We're here.
Yes. Once we have the biggest class we've ever had, grab a book if you need one. Could anybody else relate to that, what she just said? About just events, just it's coming at you.
Well, the question is still.
Would you want to sign in, please?
Oh, sure.
Gonna,
are we always supposed to...
Pardon me?
Because I have the book?
Oh, no. I just want to know who's in the class. I'm trying to learn names and stuff.
Were we always supposed to sign in?
Not necessarily.
It's the first time I've done it.
Okay. So, Trudy brought up the fact that she's kind of had this underlying anger that's kind of running all the time. And what's behind that. But you don't necessarily take any action on that.
Right. I'm a stuff it kind of person.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not continually. But my question is it, can we not still sin in our heart, in our hearts, even if it's just in our mind?
Well, to me, that's the next step.
Right.
In being more Christ-like. You know,
okay,
you got rid of the outside anger, now you got to get rid of the inside anger. Okay, we're going to be on page 49. Okay, let's just jump in here. Your emotions operate in the hot displeasure mode, which this is going to apply directly to what you're going through, which is more and more my experience with doing my devotions and spending time with the Lord, that he deals with us directly about issues that are real to us on a daily basis. The stuff that I say, oh, this doesn't apply to me, something goes, oh, yes, it does. You better pay attention there. So I do. Okay. Anger is a feeling of distress, trouble, and hatred. When someone says I'm angry, we usually think first of an emotion of intense displeasure. Excuse me. Your emotional equilibrium is upset, not calm or happy. When you don't like what's going on, anger adds the emotional charge that says, I really don't like that. Does that kind of tie into what your perception of the situation, in my experience, is your own who you are, you know, what you're all about, and it's based on your life experiences. So I might perceive something totally different that how you do. For example, I don't happen to like the taste and texture of lima beans. Okay, let's get into some serious stuff going here. I'll eat them if they're served, but offered the choice, I'll always pass. I don't get worked up to any pitch or antipathy against the lowly lima bean. The threat of lima beans for dinner became one of the standing jokes in our family. I'm not crazy about lima beans either, by the way. It's a healthy food, after all, and my wife loves lima beans. Stranded on a desert island, even I would give thanks for them every day, while keenly anticipating the day of dietary deliverance. Yeah. I like the way he kind of takes little sidelines to bring humor into it, and I think that's a good thing. But I really don't like it if someone lies to me, manipulates me, or cheats me. That really, the really sets mere dislike on fire with emotion. Wow. Sets mere dislike on fire with emotion. And you know, every time I read that, if someone lies to me, manipulates me, or cheats me, you know what? I lie to people. I manipulate people. I cheat people. Instead of, you know, I'm just laying down here, I mean, she does that all the time. But I don't even know you, so I'm just using an example. But a lot of times, what you really dislike in other people is character traits that you have yourself. My wife reminds me that, man, I really don't like it when that person does that. She looks at me, you do that all the time. And I'm like, but I've learned to receive that as instructional and not, you know, I don't need you telling me what's right and what's wrong. I kind of struggle with that, and I'm working on that one, to be teachable. You can always learn something. I take the most lowly, despised person in the room, and I, you know what, I can learn something from that person. I work with a lot of homeless people, and so there's some pretty sad cases out there. But I learned in time, when I pray and ask God for forgiveness and deliverance and direction, He gives it, but not right away. It takes time. You know, we live in an age of instant gratification. But, and I've learned, oh, wow, you know what, I'm feeling better about this. You know what, the animosity has fallen off that I was feeling toward this person. So giving room to the Holy Spirit will work. The really sets mere dislike on fire with emotion. Nobody likes betrayal, whether they're stranded on a desert island or comfortably settled at home. It's not merely a matter of taste and preference. It's a matter of active evil. Evil hurts and anger kicks into gear. Anger is a passion. As we just saw, when you feel anger, your body gets fired up. But you aren't only sensing what your body is doing, as if emotions reduced to physiology. No actual human being would say, when you mocked me, my body started to react with those physiological processes that people term the emotion of anger, but we both know that it's just my body reacting. What about that one? I can totally relate to that. My body reacts to stuff that people say or do, or I perceive in other people, a physiological effect. And I think last week we talked about anger as a whole body experience, different from most other emotions. You know, you feel it all over, the hot flash and the impatience and things like that. No way, you are reacting with feeling. When you mock me, I get disturbed. Anger is a high energy state for both body and soul. And a lot of people do that, they mock, but it's just, oh, I was just kidding. Oh, but is that passive aggressive? That's what I think was, what's really going on here. Intensity, top of page 50. Intensity levels vary tremendously. Of course, the emotional Richter scale can range from a shrug of mild irritation to a holocaust of blind rage. I don't think I've really reached that degree, but I know the mild irritation can compound into dislike and frustration and impatience and, you know, I just want to get away from this person. I don't want to be here, but maybe the situation dictates that you can't, that you have to spend some time with that person. So I've learned to, and I do pray, and I expect an answer. Lord, give me patience now. And it's like, and he doesn't give it to me right then, but I've noticed if I stay with it, I try to find some common ground, relate to this person, where they're at and not where I expect them to be. And I think I've been studying about morality, and I expect non-Christians to exhibit moral behavior. I'm just, come on, you can at least be civil, but they can't. And more as the progressive wokeism and all that stuff, you know, people are more and more exhibiting outrageous behavior, and they think it's okay. The scripture, there's a way that seems right to a man, but those ways are what?
Death.
The ways of death. So you guys feel free to comment, jump in here.
Well, I think one of the things that you said is very key, and that is waiting, but understanding. Once you understand why a person reacts, it's a little softer, your reaction is a little softer.
A good point, yeah. I had an example last night. We had a Christmas party where I work at API, and it's a behavioral health institute. So that's pretty interesting because I'm around these people that are teaching psychology all day. And they want to talk about everything but Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm trying to, but God's given me a lot of opportunities. But this woman was, when all the families were first walking in the door, she was the greeter. She was the first person you see. And I'll just say she was dressed inappropriately. Mm-hmm. And that stuff, come on, you know. But the more I thought it through and prayed about it and talked to my wife, and she kind of gives me a more realistic perspective that why does she feel the need to do that?
Yeah.
Because she knows. And then she said, well, I know this lady, Susan said, that I'm proud of my body. I'm going to show my body. And that kind of a thing. And especially in today's society, it's permissible, you know. But why does that, why does that get me so much? And I prayed about it. And you know what? I can pray for this lady that God would show her. I wanted to go report her to the staff. And so you need to tell this woman to dress more appropriately, like a business-like attire, you know. So, but that's an example there. But my first thought should be to pray for this woman, that God would show her. But again, that's putting Christian behavior on non-Christians. And that, are they capable of doing that?
No, but it serves as somewhat of a restraint once you can address it.
Okay. Yeah. Who can address the problem?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's certainly not my part to address it. And all said and done, I'm just going to keep quiet about it. Mm-hmm. Look the other way or whatever. It's not, you can't choose your battles.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I get real busy trying to correct all the behavior that I didn't think was
Are there other Christians in the...
Yeah, there are. There are quite a few Christians in there, but they're kind of scattered.
But I'm just, what I would say too, though, is if there's somebody in there that may be affected by it as well, or has an opinion about it, you can tell them, I'm going to start praying for her and praying that, you know, she would solve that problem for herself.
Right.
And then that then becomes, you put it in God's hands in front of the people you're around, in other words.
Oh, that's good, yeah, okay.
I found that to be helpful with neighbors sometimes.
A lot of times I think too, well, I'm not the only one. Some other people have to be.
Exactly right. So that's the way, you say, well, that's the way I'll handle it then. You know, is I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to pray that God would change her.
Okay, that's just an example that I just had last night, so. Okay, we've noted how your body gets agitated and your emotions feel hot displeasure. And that's exactly what happened to me. Mm-hmm. But I want to circumvent that. I don't want to feel that in the first place. So that's the crux of the issue right there. Mm-hmm. But there's more. Your physiology and your emotions connect to thoughts. You don't feel angry. You think angry. And I'm being a feeling. You know, I think feelings are kind of like fluffy clouds that just blow around the sky all the time. And say, you know, I'm just not feeling going to work today. Or somebody will say, I'm just not feeling what you're saying. Well, big deal, you need to do it anyway. Because we have responsibilities to people and to things that we do. Okay, your mind operates in a judicial mode. Anger actively involves your thought life. Any dullness of mind instantly departs. You think vividly and quickly when you're mad. An intense mental conversation takes place inside. You watch the video replay in the inner theater of your graphic imagination. I like the way that's and I think about that verse, casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And that's kind of what you read. So Lord, yeah, every thought, please take it, because all these random thoughts just always float through my mind. I'm like, where in the world did that come from? So so that's a good verse for that. What's the address of that name? Casting down imaginations.
Second
Corinthians.
let me see if my.
Okay, that's worth looking at real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. When you're mad, an intense mental conversation takes place inside. You watch the video we play in the inner theater of your graphic imagination. That's what the story about that one is a good one. Anger involves pointed, articulate attitudes and judgments that express the criteria by which we evaluate something as acceptable or unacceptable. Ooh, that's thick, but there's some good stuff in there. Let's look at that again. So we're talking about anger. And hopefully we're in the realm of godly anger, not human anger. Where was I? You watch the, where did I always lose my place? Where was that?
The video replay.
Where at?
Yeah, like that. You watch the video replay.
There you go, okay. Yeah, you think, okay, let's start it over. Any dullness of mind instantly departs. You think vividly and quickly. When you're mad, an intense mental conversation takes in place. You watch the video, oh, here it is, replay in the inner theater of your graphic imagination. Anger involves, okay, this is what my point here. Pointed, that means emphasized, dominant. Articulate, that means it becomes very clear. Attitudes and judgments that do what? Express the criteria by which you evaluate something. And again, that's your perception. That determines the criteria that you evaluate for that. As acceptable or unacceptable. You run what happened through the analytic grid of those criteria. All your, and I think I've shared with you guys before, something that I find offensive and inappropriate, my wife will go, that's just fine, I don't see a problem with that. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing to keep in mind is all people see things differently. So I like to kind of check the temperature of the room, if you will, before I go off on something. All your reasoning powers come to bear, however unreasonable at the moment. You remember, you imagine, you weigh what happened, you run scenarios of what you should do, and all of this is happening quick. You form words, you weigh your possible reactions. That's where I need to slow down and weigh my possible reaction. How should I react to this? I like to say engage your brain before you open your mouth. You want to throw gas on the fire or throw water on the fire. You know, sometimes you want to rumble, okay, let's go there. But that's not a godly thing to do. Okay, you plan whether or not you are doing anything outwardly. When angry, you furiously think, and what you think makes a judgment. You idiot, that's not fair. I can't believe she did that to me. Now, is he calling her an idiot or calling himself an idiot? Right there. It's kind of vague the way it's put there. When angry, you furiously think, and what you think makes a judgment. You idiot. Oh, no, that's talking about the other person. And name calling is never good in my book. And I hear people doing that so much, even vulgar, profane names. And I'm just like, wow. That's not fair. I can't believe she did that to me. Your internal video camera not only replays clips from what happened, but you also script and rehearse imaginary scenarios, violent retribution, or a conversation which you give the perfect unanswerable comeback that leaves the other speechless or groveling in guilt. I struggle to come up with that one, but I don't always get it. A conversation in which you give the perfect unanswerable comeback that leaves the other speechless or groveling in guilt. Words and actions get thought, planned, and practiced, whether or not you ever say or do what you're thinking inside your head. Any comments on that?
I can really relate to that, and this is something that a wise friend has helped point out to me. Certain things in my life that I'm getting angry continually over.
Okay.
And I know that whether there is some righteous anger in there, if there is any, there's also plenty of unrighteous anger along with it.
Okay.
And this does not help to set myself up in my mind as a judge where I've done nothing wrong. Everything else is the problem of this person or this situation or whatever. And I can just totally relate to this. And
okay.
So I plan everything in my head of these conversations, you know, to say what it is that I think is wrong against this person. So a wise friend has helped me, saying when you catch yourself doing this and replaying these conversations in your head, these imaginary conversations,
okay,
stop. It's not useful. It's not helpful. Mm-hmm. I have been able recently,
okay,
when I find myself doing this, here I am again in the same place. Here I am, the judge, judging this person in my mind with anger.
Oh.
It's not outward. It's inward.
Well, see, in recognizing it from the onset, and my wife and I, too, if we're kind of got in a heated state, let's sit down, let's get a Bible, let's frame what we're talking about in the scripture. That we can kind of stay in the arena, as opposed to, because sometimes we're just way out of it. I'm like, what are we doing? You know, and the devil's having a heyday. But recognizing that, and right in the middle of it, can we pray? And they're like, excuse me? But you've been, you know, and all of a sudden, And usually we can. We'll stop and we'll pray. Mm-hmm. And I'm real big on don't let the sun go down on your anger. You know, we need to come to some kind of a resolution on this before we go to bed. And sometimes you have to agree to disagree. Mm-hmm. We're not going to settle this issue right now. I can't always expect her or vice versa to agree with things how I see them. And I've noticed women nowadays are pretty independent. They're, you know, yes, ma'am.
Yes. In my experience, good anger or righteous anger usually takes things not personally against me. Then for me, it's not that I don't like it. It's just, I think that's ridiculous. It shouldn't happen.
Okay.
And because it's, so I think like things like this, that it's not personally against me, but I think it's not right. But it continue to happen. I admit that I continue to feel anger. Because I think like this look like it's not going to be resolved. It's going to continue, but I still feel anger. It's just I cannot do anything, you know. I feel anger inside, but I feel like nothing I can do. Right, because it's not.
To mean to resolve the anger at that moment.
Right. I mean something like this. For example, in the workplace or institution, there's something they said, what they are doing actually not what they said.
Okay.
You feel like, oh, they have all these beautiful things, but actually it's not. They are not doing that. You feel, okay, this is ridiculous. I do feel anger many times,
mm-hmm,
but I don't think I can do anything.
Mm-hmm. To stop your anger.
Right.
Well,
I don't
the situation,
that
right? You can't do anything about the situation.
Right.
So you feel angry because you feel like the situation is wrong, but it's not your place to do anything
about
it.
I mean,
oh, that's good.
Yes, I understand that.
Well, see, I always want to butt into that stuff. And it's like, this
but
is not
I,
true.
I don't mean that I'm angry all the time, but when I see that again, I continue to, I repeat. Even though not all the time I am in, angry, but whenever I see the same thing again, I continue to feel anger.
So when I'm experiencing that, I ask, well, why does this make me angry? And try to figure out what it is about the situation. And again, my perception makes me angry. You know, somebody else might be, I don't see anything to get angry. But I think being teachable is a good thing. And just having thick skin, a lot of stuff, just let it fly. But when I do that, I start, and I've shared with you guys before, I start stacking. Oh, this, and then this, and then this, and then this, and it all kind of gets into a jumbled mess, and I just try to express it, and it just blows up every time. So that's where, what's the scripture for that? Again, it just has to be, don't let the sun go down on your anger. You have to resolve it with yourself and God and the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you. Yeah, you have something?
Well, just for both Katie and Claire were down there, I thought, you're the one that remembers the scripture verses, I know, but don't let the sun go down on your anger.
Ephesians.
And I think when it's all internalized and you just can't get over it, I think that's where we just immediately need to start and say and pray that God would give us the right view of this and take away the burden that I'm trying to carry over something that I can't do anything about.
Exactly.
So we pray for the situation, but also pray that the Lord would fill our minds with good thoughts.
Okay.
Of how to pray, you know, for him to deal with it, for him to bring the justice, for him to change my heart, for him to change that person's heart. You know, those are all the things that he can do, and we can just ask him, and it takes the burden, well, I mean, Lord willing, he will use it to take the burden off of us while we pray.
Right.
You know, but it's so easy to get just entangled with your own thoughts and feel like, well, this is just a part of me. I'm going to be angry with this. And when their opportunity comes that I can tell somebody, I'm going to tell them. But we don't let it go first. You know, I mean, let it go into the Lord's will in our mind.
I think that too, because it can be an opportunity for us to pray for that person.
Yes.
That God placed you. He placed you there in that moment to pray for even that woman.
Right.
And for even your work environment. And
yeah.
And it's a perfect opportunity to, God is planting that seed through you in the prayer. I mean, we can't solve it, but God can solve it.
Right.
So I believe sometimes we miss those opportunities.
Right.
And the enemy tries to rob us from that, you know, from seeing what God placed you in the workplace. And, you know, blinding us from the anger because it's unfair. You're doing that out of a posture of like I heard you say, like it's, you see it all the time and it's like nothing you can do because they're doing it over and over. But I feel like God can do something in that person. I feel like I read a scripture yesterday where like, I was talking to somebody that mentioned like God sends angels.
Mm-hmm.
In disguise, and who knows, maybe God is putting you there in that place, putting you in that place mm-hmm. to plant that seed, to pray for that woman that needs the prayer. And so, it's a perfect opportunity.
Said, don't focus so much on the person and what they did to you, but think that God allowed this to come into your life for a reason and a season to learn and let it be a real experience instead of just focus all that. I get around that person. God's allowed that for a reason. And to teach us and to train us in righteousness to be. There's another scripture you just made me think of. I think it's in the Old Testament somewhere. We're like water spilled on the ground that can't be gathered up again. But God devises means that is banished, be not expelled from him. And I think David's a good example of that. And he was way out hiding in caves, running from Saul, and God slowly had a way to bring him back in. Yes, sir.
2 Corinthians 10:4 For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, mm-hmm. being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete.
Mm-hmm. And where's that again? I'm sorry.
2 Corinthians 10:4 and following.
Okay, that's a great passage. Yeah. And, you know, the Bible provides real answers.
Yeah.
There's another scripture I think of. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. There's just unlimited power available to us every day through the scriptures, and it's just a matter of tapping into that. Okay, we're about to run out of time. We'll go ahead and start. It's 12 o'clock. We'll stop right there. We could almost go through this section again. That's pretty thick stuff, huh? That we read. If you guys want to read over that again until next week, remember we'll be meeting in room
203.
Just inside the front door.
Oh, that's 201.
We're moving up in the world.
We have 201.
201.
That's upstairs, though?
Yeah, 201. Yeah.
Upstairs, yeah.
When you first walk in the front door, it's kind of a long, narrow room, but we're hoping that it'll be easier access and more people can find it. And actually, if you got any friends or anyone that would like to attend this class, you know, they just come in the front door and boom, there it is. So that's something we could maybe look at too. So, okay, Mr. Vance, you pray us out, please.
Oh, sure. Father, we thank you that you are our sovereign God.
Yes.
And you cause us to walk in your ways through your Spirit. And we thank you for that. Thank you that we can be grateful, in fact, to you for the things that you've done with us and for us. We pray that you would give us the spirit of obedience. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, good stuff, Gus. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was a good question. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, with the women.